A unique festival celebrating the banjo is returning for its second year this weekend on Wolf Island. Mondo Banjo was started by banjoists Tim Poskate, Jason Mercer, and Tara Frost in 2025. Jason and Tara are neighbors on the island who connected through their shared love of the instrument.
Yeah, so Jason's you can talk about your banjo style, plays bluegrass banjo, but Jason moved to the island about 5 years, 7 years ago now, 8 years ago?
Eight and a half.
Holy, wow. Yeah. Time's flying. So I play clawhammer style and two-finger style banjo, and I make early era tack head and grid banjos. And so we met, and I think I was riding my bicycle. Well, we played on an album together, and then I was just so excited to have another banjo player around. I was chasing him down as he was driving in the lineup for the ferry. I was holding one of my banjos saying, "You got to try this one out. It's really great," passing it through the window. And he's like, "I'm driving, but I'll play it."
Jason and Tara had been considering the idea of a festival for years, but it was Tim's arrival on the island that finally gave the idea the push it needed.
We had been talking about doing a banjo festival or some kind of, you know, banjo-centric festival for quite a long time, and then along comes this fella Tim Posgate, and he came to play hockey on the island and gave us a call and said, "Guys, I was just talking with the hotel owner, and I think we need to start a banjo festival." And we said, "Great, we've been sort of procrastinating about this for quite some time," and that was that. So Tim's the kind of guy, like he's a hockey player, you know, he just goes for it and takes a shot.
Yeah, he was definitely the impetus. Yeah. We were dragging our feet for years.
It's good to have somebody come along from sort of outside, because we could just, you know, we live on Wolf Island. It's a sort of paradisical, we're touring musicians as well. So like when we're home, we just kind of get home and play banjos together and have sort of quiet time. So it was good to have an outside influence to say, "Come on, a city lad, come and say, come on, you guys, let's get some fire under your banjos."
And Wolf Island turned out to be the perfect home for the festival, both practically and in spirit.
I think it was just a sort of an idyllic spot, really, to hold a festival. And there were options on where to hold it. Like the island it already held a couple of festivals. And there are sites on this island that made it, attractive, I guess, for holding the festival here. Also, just bringing people to this island to showcase the island itself is really an attractive idea. But we have a shared friend who owns the hotel here, and it offers multiple rooms to play in and outside spaces and... it's right on the waterfront, so it's kind of idyllic, really. And, you know, our initial goal was to start small, so it kind of held it perfectly. It kind of held space perfectly. And we can, you know, it's multi-use. We can change it up a little bit, and people can come and go. And if it rains, you know, like all those festival-type horror stories of rain during this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we sort of avoided those things by choosing Wolf Island and the hotel in specific.
It doesn't rain on Wolf Island. That's the thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And if in the future, if we grow it to where we need to expand, then there's other places on the island we can expand to. I think it's much harder to do something like this in a place like Toronto, where Tim's from. You'd have to really figure out where to do it. This was just kind of, it was right there for the taking, in a way.
We have some nice old halls, like St. Margaret's Hall and St. Andrew's Hall. They're just beautiful old Grange halls that are underused, and they were built for a purpose. Like they're built for gathering and dancing and community it's a beautiful place. And between ferries, there isn't a lot of traffic, and there isn't the chaos. And it does, like Jason's saying, like doing it on the island is different than, of course, doing it in Toronto or in a city where you have it's contained, and people have that really sort of special feeling when they arrive and they are on the island, and when they're at the festival, they're at the festival. And that's, you know, that's kind of what's happening. And it makes it feel really, really good.
The first year came together quickly with just over 3 months of lead time. But the rush paid off, and the festival was successful enough that the founding team was ready to do it all again this year.
You know, we just put our nose to the grindstone, and the three-headed beast that we have become was really able to work out the details and bring the, you know, programming and all of those things to that first one. And, you know, in the site, picking the site and working with the rooms at the hotel and everything and working with the people at the hotel. And, you know, it was kind of a pressure cooker, that first one, because, we missed all the deadlines for grants and things like that. And we were basically just putting it on ourselves under our own, with our own money and all of that. At the end of the day, when it was all said and done, we did extremely well. We hit the numbers that we really wanted to hit. We turned a profit, which was remarkable.
And we made $342.
It was really small. But, you know, for people who had never put on a festival before and from all the people that we had talked to who had put on festivals, they were really, you know, amazed and congratulatory that we were able to pull something like that off. So. Yeah. Going into the second one, we definitely had more of a roadmap. We had way more lead up time, and we were able to, write grant, look for funding and things like that, and much more lead up time for things like sponsors. We have a lot more sponsors this year, and we're so happy to have them on board. And, you know, we have a little more to show for it, and just keep on that path, and we can grow it year by year, which is our intention.
The banjo has a rich and complex history central to Mondo Banjo. The banjo has origins deeply tied to African musical traditions. The instrument arrived on the shores of the Americas during the transatlantic slave trade. It took many shapes before evolving into the familiar form that spread through North America and the Caribbean. A history marked by colonialism while also representing the memories and traditions carried by enslaved African people.
Part of the charm, I think, is that it's not just strictly a bluegrass festival or, you know, a folk festival. It's banjo specific, and the history of the banjo is what we're really trying to highlight. Yeah. And in the different eras, the different styles.
And it's called Mondo Banjo, too, which means the world of the banjo. And it's a festival celebrating the banjo. So the banjo originally came from Africa. It came as a multi-string instrument, from 2 to 6 to 7 strings. It was used in religious ceremonies and cultural ceremonies that were important to the people. They didn't look like the banjos we have now, but they were brought with the enslaved people, to provide music to get people out of the hold of the ship, to keep them relatively healthy, apparently. And then it was a way to celebrate together once people were over here in North America. And everybody spoke different languages, often within one group, and music was a really good way to communicate. And everyone had different ideas about what the banjo could be. So then together, the banjo we know today was formed. First came as a gourd or a calabash, and then that had all kinds of iterations, like whatever the person felt like basically making it to their own specification. And then this fellow Joel Walker Sweeney came along. He created what we now know as the 5-string banjo. He added the bass string. Instead of using the gourd, he used a wooden hoop, and that's that. He started started playing the banjo out. He was a Caucasian European diaspora fella, and he brought it to the white audience basically, and people just loved it. And this is the thing. It is an instrument of celebration, and it has such an unusual sound, and it's believed that the spirits of there are spirits living in banjos, And they come out and celebrate. And that's why we have this festival.
And according to Tayar and Jason, the banjo doesn't just have a rich history. It also has a vibrant contemporary landscape and a bright future.
Well, I feel like it's definitely a resurgence. It's in almost like a golden era for banjo at the moment. Even popular bands like Mumford and Son, they sort of took it to an extreme. There's a lot more awareness of the history. People like Rhianna Gibbons, and a whole bunch. I mean, there's a lot of people who are making people more aware of the history of it than ever before, I would say. You know, it crosses genres. It's not just a bluegrass instrument. It's not just a jazz instrument. It's sort of, the world is wide open right now for banjo players. And the younger folks who are coming out and playing it, the young lions, so to speak, the facility that I'm seeing on the instrument is just off the hook.
Yeah.
You know, people are approaching it like a, not just like, oh, this is a banjo. It's like, this could be a jazz guitar. This could be a trumpet solo. This could be, you know, it's amazing what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. And classical, lots of people are playing classical, or a few people are playing classical music these days.
That's
really
true.
Actually.
Yeah, that's true.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And the technical dexterity and the breadth of sound is great.
And there's something so otherworldly about the banjo and the tone of it. That I think is attractive to a lot of people across a lot of different styles and you know, communities. So, yeah, I think it's a golden era myself.
Yeah, everyone. It keeps getting more golden all the time.
This year's festival is poised to represent this golden era with a lineup of artists hailing from across the country, spanning genres from folk and jazz to experimental and global music. The three-day gathering runs from the evening of Friday, September 11th to Sunday, September 13th at and around the Hotel Wolf Island, featuring concerts, workshops, jams, dancing, and more.
There's all kinds of music. The concerts are going to be great. The jamming is amazing. We jam till the wee hours of the night. We have workshops during the day. We have banjo chi, tai chi, banjo tai chi in the morning, yoga tai chi. Oh, and we also have a square dance on Saturday morning. Last year, the most common comment was just what a great feeling of community that people left with, and how filled up they felt in a positive way. It's a real warm banjo loving community. So come on over and get your banjo loving on.
While they have been occupied with planning and are ready to immerse themselves in this year's festival, the founding team is also already looking ahead to what comes next.
Well, I'm nervously excited to get it going.
Yeah.
You know, we put a lot of thought and time and into it, and you know, it's just exciting to see it come to fruition and you know, enjoy it and you know, watch other people enjoying it. And I would love to see it grow myself. It would be amazing to expand it to get, you know, other acts in. Both Tayar and I have a lot of, and Tim as well, have a lot of contacts. There's a lot of performers we would love to try to bring here. And, you know, that's where I sort of see it going.
Yeah. And we do have people that are interested in coming and sending us messages saying, man, I want to come play this festival. Like, I feel like it's going to be a thing. And, so far, it is a thing, and I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it unfold.
You can find the full lineup, schedule, and tickets at mondobanjofestival.ca. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.